Before we get into the Word of God, I have the special privilege today to just introduce a couple people for you to recognize. They will be speaking at our Sunday school class in the FLC later. Today, you may know, and if not, you should know, is the annual National Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We will honor this day by having two guests who will speak during the 11:15 a.m. Sunday school hour, and you are all welcome to join us for that. The first speaker is a newcomer to CBC, and we want to say a special welcome to her. I'm going to ask them to stand in a moment. She is Teresa Camara, who works with the Houston Coalition for Life, whose vision is a community that loves, respects, and protects every human life from conception unto natural death, and whose mission is to end abortion in Houston peacefully and prayerfully. Teresa coordinates the annual 40 Days for Life in the spring and the fall, and we are part of that. The second speaker is an old-timer to CBC. She is not old, just a timer. She is Sandra Ontiveros, who works with the staff development at the Houston Pregnancy Help Center, whose mission and vision are to provide practical and compassionate support to women in unplanned pregnancy situations. They present life-affirming alternatives to the tragedy of abortion while respecting a woman's decision without ridicule or rejection. They also share the gospel of Jesus Christ in both word and deed, and the Holy Spirit presents the opportunity. Sandra is married to Juan, and they have two children, Andres by birth and Benjamin by adoption. Let's give both of them a hearty welcome from CBC. Would you stand there in the back? Sandra and Teresa, there they are, right over there on this side, okay? Welcome, thank you for coming, and we look forward to hearing from you, see what God is doing in this great city. There are about 2 billion Christians, at least categorized, in this world. And out of those 2 billion, a little bit less than 600 million will consider themselves charismatics and Pentecostals. We are entering into a passage in which we deal with subjects that will bring names and words like that up. So I want to give you a little background. There are a lot of those who call themselves charismatics. And those who would call themselves charismatics, and some of you are here, there is an emphasis on being filled by the Holy Spirit and also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, we are entering into that realm. You say, well, who are they? If you're not familiar, if you're a Baptist all your life or you've been here, you say, you know, what are they? Who are they? Well, I tell you, they are a growing portion of the Christian community. In fact, in the United States, about half of evangelical Christians are considered charismatics. In the Southern Baptist Convention, the biggest denomination in this country and of which we are part of, 7% of Southern Baptists are charismatic, the churches. And so they're brothers and sisters of ours. If you are charismatic or if you're not a charismatic, these are just titles, but they don't change the fact that you're born again believers in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the most important thing. But nevertheless, we need to talk about some of these things that can bring division, that can bring confusion, that can bring just kind of a, perhaps, I don't know, ignorance to a lot of stuff we have. And so today in this chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks about it, speaks about spiritual giftedness. So it's important for us to understand. Now, I want to tell you that if we really get into it, it can be a whole Sunday school class for the whole semester. We can have long sessions in which we go through spiritual gifts, inventories, a lot of things. All those things are good. If you haven't gone through those things as we begin to touch on them this year, and you will want to do that so you will know. But we want to get an idea, an understanding of what the Word of God says, because there's a lot of stuff out there that is not the Word of God. It is not. Before I get into my first point, you need to know that there's a lot of controversies because when we deal with something spiritual and supernatural, particularly the spiritual giftedness, there have been so much manipulations in so many ways. It's kind of like this, Nobody gets excited about, let's say, an accountant, and my apologies to you who are accountants, who is sitting at a desk and doing numbers. You walk in and say, oh, anything exciting? No, nothing. You go on, right? Nothing, no big deal. And you go to a mechanic shop and, you know, someone's fixing a car. What you doing? I'm fixing the car. You know, this engine's got, you know, 465 horsepower like mine, you know, outside, just in case you want to know. You don't care. You don't care, right? But if somebody comes in and does a supernatural miracle, you know, and start doing all kinds of things, and things are flashing in the sky, you know, everybody's going to be interested in that, right? If somebody's sick and suddenly he gets up, you know, and the person's running around, who was lame for 3 months or 3 years, you're going to get excited about that. And that's just human nature. That's who we are. We get excited about sensational things. That's exactly what happens in the church. So people are looking at people in the church who can do those kind of things, and suddenly they become celebrity. That's why we have celebrity pastors around. A lot of those are not pastors at all. Have you seen some of them? Because they can do some supernatural miracles, so it seems. Everybody's flocking to them. They're not moral. They have all kinds of, you know, impure things that they have done. But nevertheless, they can heal somebody. They can make people fall, you know, at a whisper and stuff like that. And suddenly thousands of people are flocking to it. The biggest church in Ukraine is led by a man named Sunday Adelaja. He's a Nigerian who went to Ukraine. Thousands of Ukrainians flocked to the church. Why? Because he can do all those kind of things. Even though he was accused of all kinds of crimes, nevertheless, people still support him. Why? Because he can do these sensational things. That's what people are. And sometimes, and oftentimes, they come to the church as well. So it's not what you know. It's not how godly you are. It's not faithful you are. It's not how much you have served the church for years and years and years. It's what you can say, how you can say, what you can do. And so the spiritual giftedness is like that. So we begin to tear into the gifts of the Spirit, and there are many, many of them, and we take the ones that are most sensational. Of course, we know the typical ones, the one that's arguing all the time, is the gift of tongues. You speak in another language. Wow, you're speaking something that nobody can understand. It must be so great. You must be a supernatural person. Or you do a miracle, or you do a healing, things like that. And we misunderstand. And it causes all kinds of controversy to a place where there are churches today who don't believe any of that stuff because it's been so abused. They're called churches that believe in cessation. They're cessationists. There's churches, many, whole denominations that believe that the spiritual gifts don't exist anymore. They said they ended in Acts, the first century. I'm just still trying to find out where it says so in the Bible. It doesn't. But a lot of churches believe that. And then there are others that believe that all kinds of stuff are gifts. You know, anything. And everyone should have these gifts. If you don't have the gift of tongues, you don't have the gift of this private language, you know, then something's wrong with you. You might not even be a believer. So we go through all that kind of stuff. But what does the Bible say? That's the important thing. Not some celebrity pastor who's a big-time guy, who's got thousands of followers. No, what does the Bible say? Well, it doesn't matter, the Bible, you know. We experience it the way we want to experience it. It's kind of how people are doing it today. No. It's always about the Word of God. It is the Word of God, or it's not true. So we want to look at what the Word of God says. Now, this is not the only passage just to use with the spiritual gifts, but we want to look at it. So entitled Spiritual Gifts, One Body, Many Members. First of all, it's important to note that they are important. They are important. So churches that discount them or eliminate them and say we have nothing to do with them, well, those churches are not living according to the Word of God. Because the first verse in chapter 12 says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Another translation, ignorant. Another translation, corrupted. You see, when you don't believe in the spiritual gifts, when you don't know about the spiritual gifts, when you are not exercising the spiritual gifts, something is wrong. Because the Church of Jesus Christ need the spiritual gift. You see, the church is not an organization. Which brings us to a place where we understand why so many churches are nothing more than community centers. Because community centers operate on human powers. It's an organization, people come, they give money, they pour resources into it, they form this organization. You can call it a Chinese cultural center. You can call it a Korean cultural center. You can call it whatever center you want, but it's not a church. Unfortunately, so many churches have become those cultural centers. Whether it is a particular ethnic group or a particular economic group, whether it's a country club, whatever it is, it's become that because it has ceased to be spiritual. The church is a living organism. It is called a body of Christ in which Jesus is the head. It is an organism, one organism, and it is a spiritual organism. It is a supernatural organism, and because of that, it cannot operate unless it has spiritual giftedness and empowering. So if you don't understand it, like Paul is talking to the Corinthians there, he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. Because if you are ignorant or uninformed of the spiritual gifts, obviously you're not exercising the spiritual gifts. And if you're not exercising the spiritual gifts the right way, the way it ought to be, then you cannot operate the church. The church cannot function if spiritual gifts are not used. And so they are very, very important. So for a church, our church, to operate the way that God wants us to operate, we must exercise spiritual gifts. They must happen. Because if spiritual gifts are not being exercised and used and operating, that means we're using nothing but human gifts, human abilities. And the church cannot operate with worldly and human abilities. It is incapable of that because this is a spiritual entity. You cannot do that. You cannot drive a car to a water station, fill it up with water, and expect the car to run. It doesn't run on water. I had a friend who drove his car to a gas station. No, he didn't put in water. He put in diesel. Diesel gasoline. You can't do that either. It cost him $8,000 to repair the engine. So don't do that, right? Green diesel, don't touch. But we do that all the time in church. We operate on that. I know we're in America, so we're a democracy. We vote everybody in, you know? And so we ask people to fill our committees. We ask people to fill our positions of authority and administration with people who don't have those spiritual giftedness. And you wonder why churches are going awry all the time. Because we're operating the church, the body of Christ, like if it is a human entity, and it is not. So the Apostle Paul said, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And then he goes off with this thing about idols and all. You know why? Because the Corinthians back then, you got to understand, right? Their culture, remember, we've been talking about this for 23 messages. Their culture is a Greek culture. It is a Roman Empire culture. It is a multiple ethnic culture, like Jewish and otherwise, that are in this city, in that city in Corinth. And they go back, and it's so easy to become a Christian. And then suddenly, we operate according to our culture, what we're comfortable with. So we're Americans. We operate like Americans will operate. So how do we do it? We operate by voting. The majority always wins. Really? That's how it works, huh? Not in the kingdom of God, it doesn't. You know, I found it interesting that when they chose, you know, people in the Bible, they would just use little sticks and they'd pick it up. They'll pick it up. You know, that's, what kind of goofy way is that? Majority wins, right? Majority's always right, right? Tell that to the Nazi regime. Tell that to the Stalin regime. Tell that to all those communist regime and dictators. Majority always wins, right? No, they don't. They're always right, right? No, they're not. That's not how God works. God doesn't work according to our culture. And there's different cultures all the time. Paul wanted them to know that according, you know, dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts, we cannot be uninformed. We cannot be ignorant because they are important. We need to know what they are, how they work. And what are they? What are they? What are these important things that Paul is talking about, spiritual gifts? Do you know what they are? Spiritual gifts are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the church for the operation of the church. It is spiritual. It is supernatural. It is not human. It is not worldly. So if you are a real good cook at home, God bless your husband or your wife if you are. That's not a spiritual gift. You're just a good cook. Which is a blessing. And I have one. If you're a real good, you know, teacher in school, that's not a spiritual gift. You're a real good teacher in school. You don't have to be a Christian to be a good teacher. There are many good teachers that are not Christians. If you're a real good mechanic, you don't have to be a Christian. Those are not spiritual gifts. I've asked people what their spiritual gifts are before, and sometimes the things they say is amazing. I'm a good mechanic. I'm a good this and that. Nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. It is not from the Holy Spirit. It is who God has made you as a human being. But when you become a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are given gifts from the Spirit. You have no choice. You have them. Our problem is we don't know what they are, and so we're uninformed. Our problem is we don't like our gifts. We want something else. Well, you know what? God didn't give you those. We always like the sensational gifts. Everybody wants the gift of tongues in the charismatic community. But God didn't give everybody that gift. God, the Holy Spirit, gives to each, and we'll talk about it a little more, spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts, ministers in the church, it is the body of Christ. They're really important. And every single one of you, if you're born again, believe in Jesus Christ, you have at least one. You probably have multiple gifts that help each other to make you into a person that will bless the Lord, bless people, and minister and impact this world. That's what you are. That's what you have from the Holy Spirit. So they're really important. So if you are ignorant about them, if you are using them wrong, if you are just wrong about them mentally, then you have to straighten out. This is really, really important. The second thing, they're different gifts, the same giver. Now, as we look back into the Word of God in the first, if you have your Bible, you can follow me. Maybe the slide, you can go back to the first slide. Actually, the second slide. It says, verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts. I want you to know that this word gifts here is the word charis. There are different kinds of gifts. There are different kinds of grace. That's what it means. Grace is unmerited favor or unearned gift. You didn't earn it. So these are things that God has given to you. The Spirit gives that to you. You can't say, I don't like that one, do you know? I want to be one up front. I want to be a pastor gift. You know, I want to be up in the podium. No, no. God gives them all to us differently. I shared with you before that, before I was called to ministry, before I went to seminary, Bible school and seminary, I was so shy. You can't believe it. I would be so shy, you would never see me up here. I'm always in a corner somewhere. Someone points to me, suddenly my face would turn red. Someone asked me to stand and say something, I would stutter. I literally would stutter. I wouldn't. It would be just terrible. I would have no capacity to stand in front of anybody. The last thing I want to do is come up to you and talk to you. That's me. So if God would have called and told me, you know, I'm going to have you stand on the podium every week and speak, I would have died right there. Because that's not me. I didn't want it. It's not something I wanted. But God, the Holy Spirit, gave me the gift of being a pastor. And in giving me that gift, he began to mold my life in such a way that I can operate that way. As a pastor, I'm a people person. I love meeting people. You know that, if you know me. I just love coming. When I come and say hello to you, it's not a pain for me to do that. It's a joy for me. One time I remember after a long, exhausting Sunday, I was so tired. I was just about collapsing. And we had a friendship banquet that night. Some of you may remember about 4 or 5 years ago. And as people started coming in, my body started just waking up. I don't know if it was adrenaline or not. I was just so energized with people because God has given me that giftedness to minister as pastor. And because I love meeting up with people, that's what pastors do. And that just energized me. It is my giftedness. Not everybody has that. Some people, like the people coming, they just like want to cry, you know, so many people. That's okay because you got a different kind of gift. But it's a gift. It is a charis. It is a grace. It is not something I earn. It is not something I say, I want that. No, I didn't want that. God gave that to me. It is something he gave. There are different kinds of charis, different kind of gifts. And you have them. But the same Spirit distributes them. It's the Holy Spirit giving it. There's only one source. It is the Holy Spirit himself who gives us these gifts. And it's important to understand because the verse 5, it says, there are different kinds of service. And the word service here is the word diakono. It's the same word that we use for deacons. I want to tell you, I'm really proud of our deacons in this church. I am. I'll tell people that in time, and I have. Because our deacons here are servants. That's what they do. You don't believe it? Just look up any of these names and look at what they've done in the last few months with Harvey and all kinds. They're servants of the Lord. They serve. They don't want title. They don't want awards. They serve. That's what deacons are. Great deacons are great servants. That's the same word here used. So these gifts are given out so that we would serve. It is not so that I would look great. Look at me. I got this gift. No, it is to serve. There are different kinds of service, different kinds of spiritual gifts that serve, but the same Lord, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, now finish it. There are different kinds of workings. That word workings in the Greek is energos. It is energy. It means energy. There are different kinds of working. This is the empowerment of it. It comes from the Spirit of God. So here I am. If I don't have the gift of being a pastor, I can do everything possible in my power to make myself a pastor. I cannot be a pastor. I've met many pastors that shouldn't be pastors because that's not the giftedness. You see, the Spirit of God will energize you and give you the power to do whatever it is you have. If it's a gift of teaching, even though you're not a great teacher in school, you can be anything else. But when you're teaching the Word of God, you are going to be a great teacher because it's the energy of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that enables you to do so. If you are going to be a leader, if you're gifted in leadership, you might not be leading anything anywhere else. But you know what? When you are in a church setting and when you exercise your gift of leadership, the power of the Spirit of God will flow into you and through you, and you will lead people. That's how it works. See, it's the same charis, gifts. They're all gifts. You don't earn it. You can't demand it. It's for service. It is not for yourself. It is to serve the people of the church, the people of this world. And it is energized and empowered by the Spirit of God. You cannot make yourself effective. Only the Spirit of God can do that. But it's all the same Spirit. And that's why every time we have division, arguments, fighting, you can almost guarantee, and not almost, you can guarantee that it's not of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will not fight himself. If there's division, because all the giftedness comes from him. They all work together because there's one giver, the many different gifts. The problem is some of us want certain gifts. We think we should be there. How come he's taking my place? I should be in that committee. I should be in that position. I should do this and that. I should make that decision. I'm the one that should do it. And you're not, because the Spirit of God hasn't given that to you. When the church can understand that, when the people in the church can understand that there is one Lord, one Spirit, one giver, and exercise the gifts that they have been given, wow, that church is going to work real well. Now, the third thing. One purpose for the common good. This is really important. This is really important. Because when we talk about the spiritual gifts, all right, in verse 7 says that. A lot of times people think it's for themselves. Particularly, it's focused on the gift of tongues. You know, the spiritual gifts are really beneficial for you too. It's for you personally. Let's say, for instance, you got the gift of teaching. Isn't that great? You're studying the Word of God, and things are just coming alive to you, right, as you're studying. But you just stay in your room, you just stay in your office, you never teach. Well, you're not benefiting anybody. You're not benefiting the Church of Jesus Christ. But you're benefiting. You're growing in it, right? Now, you then take it out and teach it to the church. Wow, you're doing a great job. Same thing with the gift of tongues. Some of you here, I know some of you here have the gift of tongues. And some of you probably have it, you just don't know it. You exercise the gift of tongues. And you know, when you exercise the gift of tongues, you are benefiting. I mean, you are being just blessed by the Lord. But there are moments that should be exercised outwardly. But the scripture is very clear. Don't exercise it outwardly just for the sake of exercising it. And I've been to churches where there's pastors or people stand up and just blah, blah, blah. You know, they exercise the gift of tongue. And I say, maybe it's real. I'm going to say it's real, but there's no translation. There's no interpretation. The scripture is very clear that there should not be an exercise of the gift of tongues unless there is interpretation. Why? Because it is for the common good. Because no one is understanding what that is. It is just for yourself, yes, but it's for the gifts are for the common good. So I have been in churches that the gift of tongues has been exercised and an interpretation has been done. And I want to tell you, the church is blessed. The whole church is blessed by what God is speaking and saying to the congregation. It's just like all the other gifts. It is for the common good. When we exercise our spiritual gifts, it is for a spiritual purpose. And a spiritual purpose is the spiritual body of Christ. It is for that body's common good. And so it is not for a personal thing. Now, we need to understand this. I want to tell you. Because as our church grows, as our church continues to minister to our community, we need to understand that this is the body of Christ ministering, impacting. You know, I had a deep sense as I was praying this morning. I know the Lord's going to use CBC to minister to Houston in a great and awesome way. But we can't do that because of my power, your power. We don't have enough power to do it. We don't have enough political clout. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough abilities to impact this city the way God wants us to impact it. But God has. The Holy Spirit is able. He is able to do great and awesome things. He's able to do things that we can't even imagine. And I believe he will. I know he has already been doing that. But the only way to do that is when we, as his people, the body of Christ, exercise the spiritual giftedness that he has given to us. These gifts are amazing. These gifts can break down the gates of hell. These gifts can transform lives that are in such desperation and despair. These gifts can change people and give them hope beyond what they could understand. These gifts can change communities. Churches have done that before, and we are going to do that. But to do that, we must allow the Spirit of God to use us and flow through us, and allowing his grace and his power to come through each one of us, through our hands and feet, our eyes, our words, our actions, everything that we do, that we will change this community for Jesus Christ. I believe we'll do that as we continue to trust him for it. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you today. Oh, Lord, there's so many things that you want us to impact. I know you want us to impact our nation's policy toward abortion. You want us to end that. I know you want us to change the desperate needs of our inner cities. Lord, you want us to change the lives of people who have no hope. And we know that by your grace and your power, they all can be done. Father, we pray that you'll use us, each and every person in this room, in this church, to be people that are in your hands, vessels that you will empower to do great and awesome things. Thank you for the privilege, Lord. Thank you for calling us to do that. In Jesus' name, we pray.